Let's take a copy of God's Word, turn to the very last book in your Bible. That would be the Revelation. Revelation beginning in chapter 1. I'll invite you to stand in honor for the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Revelation chapter 1. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. We'll read it through verse 6. Man, oh man, let's have it. Amen? Let us have the message. Let's get to it, get with it, and get after it. Revelation chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, if you found that this morning, would you say, glory, hallelujah?
Glory, hallelujah.
Well, that would be about most of you. Amen? Good job. Amen? It's easy when you just go to the back. Just go to the back, find the first chapter, no problem, right? Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And He sent and communicated it by His angel to His bondservant John, who testified to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. Good spot to say amen. And He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again, praising you for this day, thanking you again for this opportunity, thanking you, Lord, for the wonderful worship through music that we've been able to participate in and experience in here together. Lord, we pray that our minds would continue to be opened, our hearts would be attuned to your word. And Father, as the word of God is preached, we pray that, Lord, you would behind the preacher, behind the cross, and Lord, the people would be ushered into the very presence of you. And Lord, through your spirit, you would touch and you would heal and you would convict. And as we prayed earlier, Lord, if there's anyone here that is lost, they would be saved today because you draw. Not because man tricks them and not because man is fancy with his words, but because the Holy Spirit draws him today. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for making a way for us. And Lord, may we just continue to be faithful and to pour out our lives unto you as an offering. It's in your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. I want you to imagine for a moment with me that you're kind of a big shot. Now, some of you may be big shots here, but just imagine if you're not a big shot, that you are a big shot, and you have this company, and you're going to do this experiment, and you go out, and you seek two employees, and you end up hiring, you're trying to find, you know, not necessarily twins, but you're trying to find two people that are very, very similar. So you come across two women of the same age, and they're of the same socioeconomic status and background. They are of the same educational level, and as you put them through all the different tests that your company has, you find out that they are of the basic same temperament. Well, at the end of the process, you end up hiring both of these women, and you say to each of them, you are part of an assembly line, and I want you to put part A into slot B, and then I want you to hand what you have just assembled, I want you to hand that off to somebody else. I want you to do that over and over and over and over and over again for 8 hours. You put them in identical rooms. You put them with the same identical lighting, the same identical temperature, the same ventilation. You give them the very same number of breaks in a day, two 15-minute breaks and one 30-minute lunch. You do all of that. And you're kind of getting the picture here. This is kind of boring work, isn't it, Pastor? Yeah. It is very boring work. But their conditions are the same in every way except for one difference. You tell the first woman that at the end of the year, you will pay her $30,000 for 52 weeks of this kind of work. And you tell the second woman that at the end of the same year, you will pay her $30 million. After a couple of weeks, you can imagine the first woman will be saying, "Isn't this tedious? Isn't this driving you insane? Aren't you thinking about quitting?" And the second woman will say, "No, this is perfectly acceptable to me. In fact, I whistle while I work. Part A into Part B, hand it off to the next guy, man. It's going great." The question is, what in the world is going on here? Well, you have two human beings who are experiencing identical circumstances. Identical circumstances in radically different ways, don't you? Yeah. What makes the difference? Well, the difference is their expectation of the future. That's the difference. See, the illustration is not intended to say that we all need, all we need is a good income. I'm not going to turn down $30 million, are you? I mean, if you can make it honestly, I'll put Part A into Part B for $30 million. Amen? And preach on the weekends, right? $30 million. Think about it, right? Yeah. But that's not the point. The point is they perceiving their future two different ways. Perceiving their future in two different ways, right? What we believe about our future completely controls, listen to me, completely controls how we are experiencing our present situation. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we are irreducibly a hope-based individual. God has put the potential to hope in us when it comes to the future. And friend, when we look at Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation provides the most detailed look into the future of all of Scripture. This is it. This is the fitting capstone. This is the appropriate conclusion of God's revelation to man in the Bible, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation unveils the future history of the world all the way to history's climax in the return of Christ and the setting up of His glorious earthly and eternal kingdom, which ought to give you hope today. Amen? By way of introduction, John lists 11 characteristics of this marvelous book in the first six verses of the opening chapter of Revelation. Now, we've already covered two of those last Sunday night. We talked about the book's essential nature. What is the nature of the book? It is a revealing. The revelation is the nature of the book. And then we talked about last Sunday night, we talked about its central theme, and that is of Jesus Christ. It is a book about Jesus. Amen? The book of Revelation. As we continue on this morning, we continue on with these 11 characteristics of this marvelous book. If you were here Sunday night, it would be number 3 for you. If you're hearing this for the first time, well, then you can call it number 1, amen, or number 3, or you can call it number 4. I really don't care. But anyway, this is the first point today, amen? It's divine source. The book's divine source. Well, that's easy. Pastor, you got a keen sense of the obvious. I do, amen. Look at verse 1 with me. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Which God gave him. Which God gave to him. Amen? It's divine source. The book of Revelation is the Father's gift to the Son as a reward for His perfect, humble, faithful, and holy service. Oh, I love it today. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in about verse 5. See, the Father, God the Father, He promised to exalt the Son, as the Apostle Paul explained it in the book to the church at Philippi. Philippians, in your Bible. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. You found it? The Word of God reads, it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Verse 7, "but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name." So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. See, Christ, his exaltation is promised in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And that passage is described in detail. That passage is unpacked. That passage is unfolded. That passage is expanded as the book of Revelation, as it was written. Amen? See, Revelation thus contains the full disclosure of the glory that will be Jesus Christ at His second coming, at His return. Man, my Jesus is coming back. See, His coming back and receiving that ultimate glory at that second coming, that is the ultimate reward from the Father for His faithfulness during His humiliation. We call His first advent His humiliation because He left the abode of heaven and He came here and took on the form of a man. I want you to think this way with me just a little bit. There are four expressions of the Father's great pleasure with the obedient Son that precede Jesus' return. The first one is Jesus' resurrection. Oh man, the Father was pleased with that. The Father was pleased. His resurrection. Oh, but then there is the ascension. Amen? Where He's coming back to be at the right hand of the Father, where He is right now, making intercession on your and mine behalf. And then there is the sending of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the gift of the book of Revelation, which promises and reveals the glory that will be Christ at His second coming. See, the book of Revelation, as we introduce this great study to you, the book of Revelation, it details the Son's inheritance from the Father, much like an individual will of the deceased in our time. Have you ever looked at a will before? Have you ever written a will before? Yeah. However, unlike most human wills, this document that we have before us, can be read, it can be studied, because it is not a sealed private document. We all get to see it. Everyone can read it. Everyone. But not everyone will understand it. Not everyone will understand it. Only those to whom God unveils it to by His Spirit. Think this way for just a moment. Jesus was obedient, perfectly obedient. Jesus was obedient, and Philippians tells us that He was going to receive. Philippians tells us that He did receive. The book of Revelation spells out what Jesus has received, what He's going to receive. Jesus was obedient and received things from the Father. And so the question is, does God give us good gifts when we are obedient? Does He give us good gifts? Brother Roger believes He gives us. Brother Richard believes He gives us good gifts. You believe it back there too. Amen. That God gives us good gifts when we're obedient. The answer, of course, is yes, He does. But a second question on that, what does God give us when we obey? What does He give us when we obey? Well, He doesn't give us our salvation because we're not earning a salvation. We have a salvation by grace. Amen? So He's not giving us salvation. That came by Jesus' blood. Came by Jesus' death on the cross. Amen? Mercy, grace. Jesus died. Amen? Resurrected the third day. Shed blood to cover our sin. That's a grace transaction. What does God give us when we obey? Well, you could say He gives us blessings. That's a good general term, right? That's when I asked my youngest daughter, what did you learn in children's church? She says, Jesus, right? Well, can you be more specific? Love. Can you give me something here? It was in the Bible, Dad, I'm telling you, right? Those are general answers, but when we think real specifically, what does God give us when we get blessings? Luke 11:28 says, but He said, on the contrary, blessed, Luke 11:28, He said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. You understand that? Right. What is the blessing of being blessed? See, that'd be the big question. What is the blessing? Because I ain't letting it go. I ain't going to let it go, man. I'm going to keep holding on and studying this till I find out. What in the world? We talk about blessing. I want to know what the blessing is. Somebody tell me what the blessing is. The blessing can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 16. It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments. Don't you love the Old Testament? Amen. Obediently to my commandments, which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Yeah, Brother Lee, there you go. Back to that Old Testament. You're going to find that in the New Testament, what I just read, right? Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Man, you know what the world is so desperately wanting today? Satisfaction. They can't get satisfied. They can't get it. The satisfaction is found in Jesus. The satisfaction is found in salvation. The satisfaction is found in obedience to his word today. Amen. That's where the satisfaction comes. Well, what does satisfaction look like? Well, you know, people think if they get blessed that God's going to give them some great leisure, that God's going to give them some great hobby. That's God's going to take something off of them and make life simple and easy. But that's not what blessing is. More responsibility, that's blessing. More influence, that comes with the responsibility. More influence. Praise God for influence. Amen. That comes with blessing. More to say grace over. Notice what it said. It said, grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat. Man, more to say grace over. You know what I love about work? It's work. I love it. Been created to do it, to spend my life working for the master, serving for my Lord. I love it. I love getting up in the morning and waking up and putting on clothes and coming to get after it for God. Amen? I love it. Work is a good thing. Amen? And those of you that are retired, you know that it doesn't go away. You just keep on plugging in a different way, right? Work doesn't disappear. But we're satisfied in our work. We're satisfied with our existence. We're satisfied with our purpose for living for Jesus. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about what is the blessing of being blessed. Well, that's our first point for the day. It's divine source, which God gave to him. And that leads me to my final point today. My final point, just two points. The second one is this. It's human recipients. It's the revelation. It's human recipients. Look at verse 1 again. We're not even going to get through verse 1 today. We're going to get through it eventually, but we're not going to get through it this morning, right? Look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. Bondservants. Say it with me. Bondservants, right? It's human recipients to further exalt and to further glorify his son. The Father has graciously granted to a special group of people the privilege of understanding the truths found in this book. Hallelujah. See, the book of Revelation is the Father's gift to us as a blessing. The Father wants to bless. The Father wants to give rewards for our humble, for our faithful, for our holy service today. That's what he wants. He wants to pour it on you, church. And this is not some health, wealth, prosperity, mumbo jumbo. This is right out of the Word of God. That's what he wants to do for you. See, John describes those then and us now as people, as Christ's slaves, as bond slaves. A bond servant was a special type of slave. It is one who served out of love and devotion to his master. Exodus again in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 21, beginning in verse 5, Exodus 21, 5 and 6. The Word of God reads, "But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out as a free man,' then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently." See, non-bond servants or unbelievers find the book of Revelation, they look at it, they read it, they find it incomprehensible because it's not intended for them. It's intended for the bondservant. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." 1 Corinthians 2:14. See, unbelievers, non-bondservants, could not grasp what Jesus meant when he was teaching about present spiritual realities or future realities. Divine truth is hidden from the worldly wise. The unbelieving skeptic finds in the book of Revelation nothing but chaos and confusion. But to the loving, to the willing bondservants of Jesus Christ, this book is understandable, and it is an unveiling of prophetic truth about the future of the world. So, you know where this is heading. Are you, could you be, are you a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Are you? Why, I think I am, Pastor Lee. I'm a bondservant. Are you? Are you a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Are you going to understand the book of Revelation as we unpack it, as we dissect it, as we study it in depth? If you're a bondservant, then you'll get the message of the revelation. Consequently, if you're not a bondservant, then you will not understand Revelation. So are you a bondservant? You would say, "Yes, Pastor, but I'm a bondservant. Tell me again what one is." I am one, but one more time, what is one? In Roman times, the term bondservant or slave could refer to someone who voluntarily served others, but it usually referred to one who was held in a permanent position of servitude. Do you see yourself as a permanent servant of Jesus Christ? Under Roman law, a bondservant, or do you see yourself as a kind of a part-time servant of Jesus Christ? Are you permanent or part-time? We'll give you a W-2 or a 1099. What are you? Right? Amen? A bondservant was considered the owner's personal property. Slaves essentially had no rights and could even be killed by their owners without any accountability. The Hebrew word for bondservant, now we're going back to the Old Testament. That was a little bit of the New Testament time. But Old Testament time, the Hebrew word for bondservant is ebed. Let me get the in there, chabed, right, for bondservant in the Hebrew. It had a similar connotation. However, the Mosaic law allowed an indentured servant to become a bondservant voluntarily, hence the passage I just read to you in Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. Well, is there a history in the Bible of people being servants? I'll give you a couple examples. Many prominent men of the Old Testament were referred to as servants. God spoke of Abraham as his servant. Joshua is called the servant of the Lord, as are David and Isaiah. Even the Messiah is called God's servant in Isaiah 53, verse 11. In all of these instances, the term servant carries the idea of humble nobility. It's a noble thing to be a servant of God. Oh, friend. Are you humble in your service to God? Are you a bondservant? See, being God's servant is an honorable, privileged position. During the time of Jesus in the first century church, as much as one-third of the Roman population were slaves. One-third. And another third had been slaves earlier in their life. Two-thirds of the general population knew of servitude of some sort. It was common for free-born men and women to work side by side with slaves, sweeping the streets, working the docks, working in their medical fields, teaching, business, you name it. Convicted criminals became bondservants of the state and usually died working in the mines or on the galleys of these ships. Historical records reveal that it was not unusual for Jews to own slaves during the New Testament period because slavery was a familiar part of the culture. And Jesus, you know if you read the New Testament, you know if you read the Gospels, Jesus sometimes referred to slaves and owners in his parables. And also Jesus taught that the greatest in God's kingdom would have to become, as Mark 9:35 says, the servant of all. Such a concept was unthinkable to a Roman citizen. And I think the concept is pretty unthinkable for a lot in church today. I think it's pretty unthinkable. That's why I continually ask the question, are you really a bondservant? Really? Such a concept was unthinkable to a Roman citizen who prided himself in his freedom and would never identify himself as a bondservant. I gladly wear the title, bondservant. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, as John 18:36 says, and the selfish values of earth are of no consequence in heaven. Throughout the New Testament, the word bondservant, slave, or servant is applied metaphorically to someone absolutely lovingly devoted to Jesus. Are you a bondservant? Paul, Timothy, James, Peter, and Jude all describe themselves as bond servants of Christ. Friend, if you're sitting in here today and you're saved today, you should still consider yourself a bond servant or a slave of Christ. I know that goes against our culture. I know that goes against the church growth movement. Don't call them people slaves in there. If you want them to come back and hear you a second time, don't do that. Turn them lights off. Make everybody feel comfortable with their sin. And don't call, whatever you do, don't call them a slave. You're a bond slave, friend. You're a servant. That's who you are. That's who you are. Amen? We are to be lovingly devoted to serve and obey Christ and His Word. Romans 6:22 says, but now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. And let me just say something. I've been bond serving for a long time now. I can look at this old life with the arthritis and the loss of hair and the teeth beginning to fail. I can look at this old life and look back on it a little bit. Right? And I can tell you from personal experience that being totally devoted to Christ is a doable assignment. Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And friend, I want to tell you, He's a gracious master to serve today. Amen? He's gracious. Humble, devoted, noble. Are you a bondservant? I want to speak to devotion for just a moment. A hungry patron by the name of Alex Bowen, he went into a Waffle House. How many of you like Waffle House? You like you some Waffle House every now and then? Hungry patron Alex Bowen, he waited for 10 minutes. He waited for 10 minutes to order during a recent visit to a Waffle House. Now, he's showing up at 2 in the morning, right? So he goes into his Waffle House at 2 a.m. and he waits for 10 minutes and nobody comes around to take his order. So what does he do? He takes the bull by the horns. He takes matters into his own hands upon finding that the only employee at this Waffle House at 2 in the morning is asleep. Bowen went behind the kitchen counter and he began meticulously cooking his food after he appropriately washed his hands, right? He cooked all of the food that he needed to craft his sandwich. You know what his sandwich was? It was a double Texas bacon cheesesteak melt. Amen? As he's cooking all the ingredients for this Texas bacon cheesesteak melt, this double, while doing so, he took a series of photos documenting his self-service episode, including himself going to the cash register and actually paying for the food. He even claimed to clean the grill after he used it. Now, representatives from the Waffle House applauded Bowen's cooking skills, but cautioned against similar behavior, saying patrons should avoid going behind the counter for safety reasons. No word was given as to why that Waffle House was so understaffed or how the lone employee might be penalized for sleeping on the job. But friend, let me tell you what is clear. What is clear is that a man or woman who is really totally devoted to getting a double Texas cheesesteak melt will step up and serve and minister to get it. Amen? Are you a bond servant? I tell you, most of the time when church members come to me, it's not about their lack of service. It's about what they feel like they're not getting, right? Yeah. You can't look at church as a consumer. You're here as a servant. Amen? You're here as a servant. So what does that kind of bond servant? I think I am. So what does that look like in the church today? What does that look like in the church today? A megachurch pastor, he recently shared about not Sam Cathy, but Dan Cathy. Sam Cathy is the founder of Chick-fil-A. This is about Dan Cathy, the son. Dan Cathy is the president and CEO of Chick-fil-A. This Dan Cathy was in Southern California checking on some new Chick-fil-A restaurants that their company was building near this mega pastor, near his church. And Dan and this mega pastor, they were kind of buds. And so these two men were kind of making some rounds together. And these two stopped at a construction site of a new Chick-fil-A. And here's how the pastor told the story. He said, "We were looking at the building. And while we were there, we got hungry. So we went next door to a Taco Bell." Amen? A competitor of Chick-fil-A. We had been out. We had handled construction materials. We had talked to men who were working hard, and our hands were all sweaty. We were all dirty. And we went in the restroom, and we washed our hands in preparation of going to the counter and ordering something to eat. As we washed our hands, I watched Dan take out extra sheets of hand towels. This is the CEO of a chain of restaurants. I watched him pull them out, and I watched him hand clean the sinks of the Taco Bell bathroom that we were using. I looked at him, and I said, "Thank you for doing that, Dan." He said, "Pastor, we teach our staff to always leave any place that they're at better than it was when they found it." Whether it's our place or not. Nobody at the Taco Bell and nobody at Taco Bell corporate knew that the CEO of their competition had just cleaned their bathroom for free. Do you get the point of what a servant is? What can you do behind the scenes to leave this place better than the way you found it? Because, friend, you're just passing through. We talk about this being our church and our facilities and this and that. This is all God's. Friend, you're just here for a season. You're just here for a time. What can you do behind the scenes to leave this place, New Hope Baptist Church, to leave this congregation, to leave this Sunday school, to leave this Christian school, to leave this Awana program? What can you do behind the scenes to leave this place better than when you found it? Are you humble? Are you devoted? Are you in love with Christ enough to work behind the scenes to make things better than they already are? Amen? That'd be a bondservant. That'd be a bondservant. Well, Pastor, I'm all ears. Well, I'm glad you're all ears today. Amen? Because Because we got a work day coming up. Saturday, February the 17th. 8 a.m. You know what's amazing? It's watching these senior adults come up here for work day. And when I come up here, I'm the youngest guy. What? That shouldn't be that way, should it? Amen? Work day is coming up Saturday, February 17th. Did I say that? What time? 8 a.m. Amen. Pastor, I'm on a cane. I'm stove up. I'm old. I'm decrepit. I've got one foot in the grave and one foot in this world. And you expect me to come up? No, don't expect you. Hey, if you physically can't do it, but you know what you can do behind the scenes? You can do what little O.C. Lazola Marion did for your pastor. She would sit in her recliner and she would read her scripture and she would pray for her wayward grandson to get right with Jesus. Oh, you can pray for your church. Anytime, anywhere, baby. Behind the scenes, prayer warrior, prayer ministry. Amen? Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the Sunday school. Pray for the school. Pray for Awanas. Pray for the Bible study. Pray for evangelism. Pray for church growth. Pray for the offering. Pray for it all. Amen? Just pray. You can invite the saved to come. You can invite the saved to come and you can witness to the lost. And when they get saved, they'll want to come too. Amen? Behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. So let me ask you again, are you a bondservant? Amen. Amen. Be willing to step up. Step out. I want you to get the most out of Revelation that you can possibly get. The time is short. Churches don't preach through this book. Men of God are afraid of this book. You come and work and serve. Be faithful and get everything in this book. Amen? You be a bondservant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue to work through the opening verses of this great book, this capstone, this fitting conclusion to the book of Revelation. Lord, we pray that this church would shoulder the responsibility and accountability of their call as Christians, their call as a New Testament church, their call as servants. Lord, help them. Encourage them. Undergird them. Bless them. Feed them. Grow them. Lord, may you do something incredible in 2018 because of this study in Revelation. Lord, may we be like that second woman, putting part A into part B, knowing that there's a huge payout at the end. Oh, Lord, this isn't tedious or toilsome. May we whistle while we serve. Lord, help us see it. Help us grasp it. Help us be the church you've called us to be. Lord, there are some that are struggling here today. They're struggling emotionally. They're struggling physically. They're struggling spiritually. Lord, these altars are open for them. Lord, let them come today and cry out to you and pour their hearts out to you and seek wisdom and discernment and direction for their lives. Perhaps, Lord, they need to lay down a sin or sins. They need to lay down a struggle. They need to lay down a problem. Lord, be with them in the midst of all that. For others today, Lord, they're lost. They need salvation. We pray that your Holy Spirit would just be relentless and squeezing their heart and drawing them down this aisle for salvation. Lord, may they not turn away. May they not put another brick in the wall of their hard heart. But Lord, may they tear all that mess down and step forward, step out to receive you today as Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, that you still have the power to save. Lord, that you're still on the throne. Thank you that you're in control. We seek to honor you, Lord, and glorify you for just a few moments more as we enter this time of invitation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, if you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in this time. You come. I'll be down front. The altars are open. You come.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Linda. Outstanding. Yeah. Choir practice tonight. Choir. 4:30 choir. We'll see you back here at 6 o'clock. Be another installment in the book of Revelation. And remember, if you're inviting people to come, I love having visitors on Wednesday night. We had some folks show up Wednesday night looking for the Revelation study. And I'm still in Joshua on Wednesday night, man. Still in Joshua. Almost the end, but I'm still there. So tell them Sunday mornings, Sunday nights we try to do some Revelation. But there will even be some breaks as the Lord leads other messages. We'll hear other messages. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll let you get on. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit here today. Thank you for the anointing. Lord, we pray that we would take the word out. We would be on mission for you. Help us be those ministers, those servants, the hands and feet of Jesus, Lord. Help us be that. Bring us back here tonight, Lord, for choir and then for those that will come and worship, Lord. We seek to come back again at 6 and praise you and be in your word some more. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, you folks are dismissed. Have a great afternoon.